Good evening. Let's go ahead and pray and get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day. We thank you for the time that we get to come together to look at your word, to see the things that you have in store for those that love you. Lord, we just ask that you would let your word touch our hearts, our minds tonight. Let us gain more and more knowledge of you so that we could be more and more like you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The names used of God. Last week we went through five. We did El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, El Elyon, the Most High God, Adonai, Lord and Master, Yahweh, the formal name or proper name of God, meaning Lord or Jehovah, and Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Tonight we're going to start and we're going to look at Jehovah Rohi. This is pronounced so many different ways. It's in the English pronunciation is R-O-E-H, Jehovah Rohi. The Hebrew would be Yahweh Rohi, R-O-H-I, or R-O-I. The verb pronunciation of it is R-A-A. So it's depends on where you're from, I guess, how you pronounce it. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. The noun, it means the great shepherd, one who pastors or feeds his sheep. The verb of this means a shepherd, to pasture, to tend, to graze, to associate with. So the first thing that we're going to look at is the first one of the first places we see the Lord my shepherd is in Genesis 48. Whenever Israel, starting in verse 14, Genesis 48, verse 14. Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands, although Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day." The God who has been my shepherd, who has been my Rohi, who has been my Raha. The God that has been the one that has taken care of me, that has pastured me, that has fed his sheep. He has associated with me. The next place we're going to look is we're going to look at Psalms 23. Psalm 23, not Psalm, there's no S. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I was looking at this and as I was studying this and thinking about the Lord being our shepherd, I wanted to learn more and more about what it meant to be a shepherd. What did the shepherd actually do? How did he treat the sheep? How did he lead the sheep? What were some of the things that he did for the sheep? And as I was studying this, it was really pretty amazing. A shepherd will take and he will lead his flock. And if there's running water, and he needs to go across the running water and lead the flock across the running water, the mature sheep will stay right around him and they will follow. The ones that are not as mature, the younger adults, will lay back a little bit. They'll go in, but they're not as sure and they're not as secure in following across this running water. The lambs will not go in the running water. They have to be driven into the running water. That's the reason why he has the herding dogs and the sheep dogs, and they drive the lamb through the water. Then when they get to the other side, they all gather around the shepherd. And the lambs are jumping and leaping for joy because they crossed the water. And I thought, that is really interesting. That is really unique on how that as a mature Christian, as a mature sheep, you stay closer to the shepherd. You follow the shepherd. You trust where he's walking. You trust where he's going. And you don't worry about it. The younger ones that aren't as mature, they worry about it. And the ones that are new, brand new, they are just scared to death. And then as I was reading this Psalm 23, and it says, he leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep are deathly afraid of running water. So the Lord leads us beside quiet waters, still waters, so that we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to have any fear. There's no fear there. We're at peace. That is what the shepherd does. And then as I was reading on, and it says, he anoints my head with oil. And I thought, okay, why would a shepherd anoint his head with oil? The shepherds carried the ram's horn with the strap. The ram's horn was usually full of olive oil. They used this olive oil so that after they sheared the sheep and they were in the sun, if they got burnt or if their skin got burnt a little bit, they would anoint them with oil to heal them. If they were cut, if there were scrapes or anything, the shepherd would take the time to anoint that cut, to take care of them, to heal it. So he anoints my head with oil. He's treating me like I'm one of his sheep. And then it says, if he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They did not have the sheep sleep where they ate. They would bring them back to the safe place, the green pastures, and that's where they slept. But he would prepare a table. He would take them out to where they were going to be eating or where they were going to be foraging, or however you want to word that, where they would eat the grass. But the shepherd would walk out into this area grazing. Thank you. They would walk out in this area, and he would check the area and make sure there were no poison plants or any thistles or anything in that area before the sheep started grazing. And then at the end of the day, he would draw them back into the green pastures, and that's where they would sleep. And I thought, that is so cool. All of Psalm 23 is talking about how the Lord treats his sheep, how he is a shepherd, how he takes care of them. And surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And why does he do it? He does it for his name's sake. For his name's sake. It's not so the sheep they get the praise. It's not so they can say, oh, look at how beautiful those sheep are. Those, they know who those sheep are. They know who they belong to. So I was thinking about this, and I was, okay, where do we have examples of shepherds in the Word of God? Where can we see some examples of what a shepherd is? Go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. This is whenever David goes out and fights against Goliath. Okay? Starting down in verse 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. He was a shepherd. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, and I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. The shepherd did not take any thought for his life. He did not take any thought for his life when it comes to protecting the sheep. He did whatever he had to do. He went out against a lion, against a bear. Would you attack a lion or a bear and take a sheep out of its mouth? No. Most of us wouldn't. Now, I got my 270, that's a different story. But we wouldn't do it. But we see here that a good shepherd, a shepherd that cares about his sheep, that is tending his father's sheep, doesn't take any thought for his life. no thought for his life. He goes out and does what he has to do to protect that sheep. Go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, starting in verse 11. Well, let's go to verse 9, starting in verse 9. And it's talking to the leaders of the tribe of Israel, talking to the shepherds of Israel, the ones that are supposed to be taking care of the children of God, taking care and leading them in the way that they should go. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding my sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves any more, but I will deliver my flock from their mouths so that they will not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountain of Israel, by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pastures on the mountain of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. Did you just see what he said about what he would do as far as being a shepherd? How he would protect them, how he would feed them, how he would graze them, how he would bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the weak, the sick. This is what the shepherd does. This is what he's there for. And we don't seem to realize this. We seem to think that our God, our shepherd, is off here somewhere, and we think, oh, okay, well, I've given my life to Jesus, but we fail to realize that he's there to help us. He's there to encourage us. He's there to bind up the wounds. He's there whenever we're discouraged and we're afraid and we don't know what to do, and we need to understand that all we need to do is go to him. We go to him. We get close to him. We draw to him. And we can go through these troubled waters. We can go through all of the raging water, and we don't have to worry about it. We're going to the other side. And it's just amazing to me. Go to Micah. Micah chapter 5. And then remember who this is talking about. Micah chapter 5, starting in verse 2. As for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, whatever that's, pronounce that for me, Tom. That's it. Too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forths are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great till the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. He will shepherd us. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will comfort us. He will bind up. And this one is Jesus Christ. And he's doing it in the name of the Lord his God. And it will be to the ends of the earth. It's not going to cease. It's not going to stop. He is a shepherd. These are things he does. Okay, go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Starting in verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. The lambs, the ones that are afraid of the water, the ones that are afraid of the running water, if they get washed away, you know what the shepherd uses his crook for? To reach down and pick them up out of the water. And then he carries them, he cradles them, and he takes them to safety. And he doesn't lose them. This is what the shepherd does. And then we see Jesus in John chapter 10 speaks of this. He talks about himself being a shepherd. And he says, starting in verse 11, John 10, starting in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Didn't we see that whenever we read about that, about what David said? He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. For this reason, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life for my sheep. This is the good shepherd. This is Jehovah Rohi, Yahweh Raha. And then we can also see this if we go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Starting in verse 20. Now the God of peace, who brought you up from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that's what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The great shepherd, God, the Father, the great shepherd, through his Son, the shepherd that came on the earth to lead us, to guide us, to bind up the brokenhearted, to strengthen those that don't have the strength to continue on. This is Jehovah Rohi. The next we're going to look at, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. This word Rapha, it means become fresh. It's one used of a physician. It also means to be purified, to repair, or to take care of. One of the first places we see this is in Exodus 15, starting in verse... Well, let's go ahead and start in verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, and they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." I, the Lord, am your healer. And then we see in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Start at verse 39. See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. You know, so many times whenever we see this, the Lord my healer, the Lord that heals, so that means that all of us, we pray, you know, and we shouldn't be sick. Right? Because the Lord is the one that heals. Let's go back. What did that word mean? What did that word mean, that word Jehovah Rapha? It means become fresh, purified, repaired, or taken care of. Repaired, purified, made fresh, become fresh. Go to Psalm 51. I want you to keep that in mind as we read some of these scriptures and these verses and what that means. It doesn't just mean just to make cure somebody of the disease. It doesn't mean just to make them well. It means to purify them, to repair them, to cleanse them, to make them whole, to forgive all of their sins. Purify. Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only I have sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Fresh, purified, repair, taken care of, restored, made new. We just saw that in Psalm 51 in those verses that we read. We just saw Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, the one that makes me new. And that plea of create in me, make me new, renew in me, make it new again, restore me, sustain me. Do we cry that out to the Lord? Do we really cry that out to the Lord? To want to be made in His image? To want to be made the way that He wants us to be? We should cry that out to Him. Restore in me, Lord. I know that I'm a sinner. I know I do things wrong.
There's a church in Lincoln named Jehovah Rapha. Mario and I were out on Monday night, and we came with my 48th and Holdridge. And we came across in the middle of a neighborhood. We didn't even know it was there. But they were having a service on that Monday night. It was a healing service. You know, by your stripes, you will be healed. Mm-hmm. By his stripes, you will be healed. So we met this Mexican or Hispanic pastor. She came out and greeted us. So this stuff still goes on about healing. And a guy came up in a wheelchair. And Mario was pretty forthright and said, "Now, do you mean this man is going to be healed?"
"Yeah.
If he has enough faith." Well, that stuff goes on. I mean, you know, we hear about it from the pulpit, but there is a church. Whole thing was healing physically. Yeah.
And one of the key things that you said, if he has enough faith, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Do you think that the writer of Corinthians had enough faith? It was Paul. Paul, the writer of Corinthians, do you think that he had enough faith to be healed? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What's the lady's name? Cantata. What's her name?
Joni Eric's
Cantata. Yes, Joni Eric's Cantata. Cantata, whatever.
Cantata,
that's a singing, isn't it? Anyways, and you know about the injury that she suffered whenever she said she had a dream and she was diving and she dove off the end of her bed and fractured her, and she was paralyzed. But she has done so much for the Lord. In weakness, she has done so much for the Lord. So have you seen some of her paintings that she's done? She paints with her mouth. They're fabulous. And she gives God the glory. And she's able to witness to people. And she's able to testify about the grace of God and the fact that Jesus Christ is her Savior. And the glory that she gives to God through her weakness. If Paul had enough faith for all of the miracles and things that he did, don't you think he would have had enough to be healed? But what did it say? It said, to keep me from exalting myself. To keep me from exalting myself. To keep me from becoming so proud and thinking that it's all about me. God gave me this and did not take it away from me so that I would give him the glory, so that I would proclaim his name, so that in me, in my weakness, God would be glorified. Did that mean that God wasn't his healer? God wasn't his healer? No, because we looked and we saw what it said, what that word healer meant. It means to become fresh, repaired, purified, taken care of. It doesn't matter what comes into our lives. Sometimes things come into our lives to draw us closer to the Lord. You know, all of this flood and the devastation and everything that's been going on, that I have some friends that work for our company that live in Fremont. They weren't able to even get home. Their wife and kids were at home. They were working in Omaha. And they just got home last night. They were there all since last Friday. They just got home last night. And I had sent him messages and told him that we were praying for them. And he just told me how grateful he was for us praying for him. There was no water that got into their house. God will take these things to draw people closer to him. Lori and I, we've been praying, Lord, draw people to you through this. When they see this disaster, when they see these bad things happening in their lives, draw them to you. So that you can become their Jehovah Rapha. You can become their healer. You can be the one that makes things new. You can be the one that says, it's okay, I've got this. He is our Jehovah Rapha. And then if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 41. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earth, so are also those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so are also those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet would sound, and the dead will be raised. Imperishable will be changed, for this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? The sting of death is in sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not vain in the Lord, because you will be restored. You will be repaired. You will be taken care of. You will be purified. You will be made new. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. Wow. So now as we read the Bible, as we think about that, as we think about what he has done in our lives and where he is leading us, where he is guiding us, this is one of the names that should stand out to us. Okay. I'm having a lot of pain in this area. Oh, I'm having this is really bad in this area. But you know what? The Lord is going to make me new. Soon and very soon, I'm going to see the King. Jehovah Rapha. The next word, or next name, not word. Well, it is a word, but the next name. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. This word, it's a primary adjective, and it means direction, everywhere, anywhere, or there. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. Go to Ezekiel chapter 48. Ezekiel 48, verse 35. This is talking about the city, and it's talking about the New Jerusalem, the city that is going to come down, and he's talking about the city gates and how big they are. And there's a lot of people, my wife has even said this, that when it starts talking about these dimensions, and she just can't see it because she sees in two dimensions. And to me, the dimensions of the city, and all, it's really cool because I build buildings, so I look at blueprints, so I see this stuff. So, but the thing that stands out is starting in verse 35. The city shall be 18,000 cubits round about, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Go to Revelation, Revelation 21. We just finished Revelation just a month or so ago. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. The Lord is there. The Lord is there. God himself will be among them. There, direction, everywhere, anywhere. Go to Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12, starting in verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Where? In your midst. Right there. The Lord is there. He's in your midst. Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 3. Starting in verse 11. And the Lord said to me, faithless Israel has proved herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will not look upon you in anger, for I am gracious, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, and have scattered your favors to the strangers under every green tree. And you have not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Return, O faithless sons, declares the Lord, for I am a master to you, and I will take you from a city and from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. It shall be in those days when you are multiplied and increased in the land, declares the Lord. There will no longer say the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and it will not come to mind, nor will they remember it, nor will they miss it, nor will it be made again. And at that time they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations will be gathered to it, Jerusalem, for the name of the Lord, nor will they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil hearts. They will call Jerusalem what? The throne of the Lord, because the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to his eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in the time of need. Go where? To the throne of grace, because the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Acts chapter 7. If I'm going too fast, I want to try to get through this. So Acts chapter 7, starting verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it, according to the pattern which he had seen. And having received it in their turn, our fathers brought it with Joshua, upon disposing the nations whom God drove out before our fathers, until the time of David. David found favor in God's sight, and asked that he might find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what place is there for my repose? Repose. Was it not my hand which made all these things? You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Where can God dwell? Or where does God dwell? Everywhere. Direction. Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. He's everywhere. He sees the hearts, the thoughts, and the intentions that we have. He knows us better than we know ourselves. The Lord is there. Matthew 18 and 20, Jesus says, "For wherever two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." The Lord is there. We have this misconception of thinking that God doesn't see us in certain times, or that we can hide from him, or that, well, you know, nobody else is around. There's nobody here. The Lord is there. And it's not just bad people. It's not just the people that don't go to church that do that. It's not just the people that don't read their Bible that do that. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. But we have to remember that the Lord is there. The Lord heals. The Lord is my shepherd. This is our God. We're going to stop a little bit early because somebody was going really super fast. But next week, we're going to start with Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. And whenever you see this, the word Jehovah, remember what we said, that it's the English transliteration of taking Yahweh Yahweh and Adonai and making them into one word, Jehovah, because we're English and we think that it has to be in English, and so we change things because we're the only ones that have the right language, right? So, so whenever you see that Jehovah Shema, Jehovah Rapha, Yahweh, or El Rapha, God that heals, remember those names and think about these things as we go through this. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening. I thank you that you have looked down through the years. You have seen the things that we go through. You do understand and you do know, and that you take care of us. You are our shepherd. We know that we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and become as you are. We thank you that we're able to see in your word, to study this and understand this, so that it will help us to live our lives in a way that is glorifying to you. We just ask that you would be with all those that are inundated by the water, that have so many things that they have lost. There's so much destruction. Lord, we just pray that you would just make yourself known to them, that you would send people around them that would glorify you, that would show your love, that would be able to witness concerning you and the grace that you are the one that heals. You are our shepherd. And Father, we just ask that you be with us the rest of this week, that we too would glorify you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.